We want to welcome you this morning. Wow, there we go. Can you hear me now? We want to welcome this morning to our morning service. That's your home this morning and you're joining us online. We want to welcome you as well. Just a few announcements this morning, some upcoming things. Vacation Bible School will be held next week. The 19th will be the first day of that from 9:30 to 11:30. And there's some registration forms out in the lobby on the welcome desk, as well as credenza and posters hanging up as well. We also need volunteers to help with check-in each day and just to kind of be here to kind of help as intermittently just with walking kids around and doing some odds and ends, as well as with some snacks. So if you're able to help, please let me know. You can call the church office or you can email me and we'll make sure that you get connected to that. But we do need your help. Just a reminder that next Sunday there'll be an ad council meeting immediately following the service. So please take note of that if you are on ad council. And we are looking for individuals to help continue to count money after the service. So if you're available just for a little time after the service, it doesn't have to be every week. It can be one Sunday or two Sundays. However often you want to help count money, we can do that. Today is kind of an interesting day for us here at Columbia because it's camp week for us, in which we're sending several of our teens and one of our kids to camp this week at Pocono Plateau. It's one of the United Methodist camps that our denomination sponsors. And so today what we want to do is, before we get started, is just have some prayer with them. So if William, Cody, and Tyler will come on up at this time. They didn't know I was doing this. This is totally off the cuff for them. So if you guys would come on up, come on guys, come on down. We want to have some prayer with you this morning. And as they're coming up, we also want to be thinking about Sean Lavery and Abby and Allie as they're headed up as well this morning. Sean will be counseling this week, and also Javery and Nick will be joining them. So if you want to just stretch your hands out this morning where you're at as we pray for these guys to have a good week, be blessed, and that God might work. So let's just pray for them right now. God, we come before you and we give you thanks and praise that you enable us to have an opportunity like camp to go to support a wonderful ministry where our teens and our youth can go and our children can go in order to be impacted by you. We pray, God, your blessing upon William and Tyler and Cody and Abby and Allie and Javery and Nick, that you would be with them and bless them, God, that as they go, they might experience you in new and fresh ways, that you might touch their lives, that you might just enable them to see you in new ways. We want to pray for Sean as he'll be counseling this week as well, that you give him wisdom and that you give him knowledge of how to relate to each camper, that he might be able to show the love of God through what he does and interacting and being open to whatever conversations might come about, that you would be with him. Be with all the counselors that'll be there this week as well, that you would bless them and be with the directors of the camp, God, not just the Pocono Plateau, but all of our camps, God, at Gretna Glen and Naba and anywhere others that we might be thinking of individuals going to different camps that we might not know of, that you would bless those camps as well. But this morning, God, we commit these individuals to you. And we ask, God, that you would be with them and strengthen them and that you would work in their lives. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys, for coming up. I know you guys will have a lot of fun at camp, and we're looking forward to hearing how camp went when you guys come back. So have fun while you're away for this week, and make sure that you always write mom and dad each day, right? They're like, I don't think so, Dad. Whatever. This morning, as we come and we begin our hearts in worship, let us join together by reading Psalm 30 this morning, the Psalm of the Temple of David from David. Let's go to the next slide, John. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths, and you did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praise of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called to you and I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced, if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turn my wailing into dancing. You remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. And as we come to worship this morning, let us stand and let us recite the Apostles' Creed of what we have in common. And let's remember the thing we have in common is Jesus Christ our Lord. So as we begin to worship, before we go into our time of singing, let us recite the Apostles' Creed together. For I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascendeth into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us worship together.
I encourage you this morning to lift up your voices in praise to Jesus as we celebrate the victory that we have through Him.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. Bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. And I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory.
Come on, sing it out.
A victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. And I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal seas, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Of victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me in.
the King. Hail to the Lord.
Hail to the Lord. Hail to the one who delivers me. Hail to the King. Hail to the Lord. Hail to the one who delivers me.
And Lord, we come this morning and we give you thanks and praise, and we come and thank you for delivering us, that we can experience freedom in you. We come this morning and give you praise because we're here because of you, the audience of one. We're not here for any other reason, but we are here because of you, to praise you and to thank you for all you are and all you have done for us. So God, we continue to give you thanks and praise. And this morning, we pray that you would be honored and that you'd be pleased with what we bring to you this morning in our form of worship. In name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Join us as we sing, He Leadeth Me.
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort brought. Where I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Sometimes mid seas of deepest gloom,
he leadeth me,
he leadeth me.
Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will tell you about."
Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants,
"Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you."
Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father."
"Yes, my son," Abraham replied.
"The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?"
Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son."
And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven,
"Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he said. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld your son from me, your only son."
Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said,
"I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the skies and as the sun on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through their offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me."
Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba.
Please join along as we sing. You can feel free to be seated, or you can stand if you'd like to. This song is called "God Will Make a Way."
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make by a roadway, a willow
Thank you, praise team. God will make a way where there is no way. What a promising song that is. The hope that we have in that song. Let us pray together. Lord, we come before you now, Lord, as we look to your word this morning, and we pray that you would open our hearts and minds, that we might hear you speak to us, that the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. We'll be looking the next few weeks over some different stories that are in the Bible, and we were going to be talking about King Saul, but this week as I was wrestling with just kind of the story and trying to say, I just didn't feel comfortable with it, so began to shake things up and turn things up, and God said, you know what, well, let's begin to look at some different other individuals in our lives, and I think the story of Isaac is one that we overlook sometimes. And the reason I think we overlook the story of Isaac is because we forget the story that he has from his perspective. You know, we all have a story. I have a story. You have a story. Some of our stories sometimes are good times, sometimes are bad times, sometimes are mysteries, sometimes it can be romances. Some are just getting started, but whatever the case is, we all have a story that we are telling with the life that we are living. All of our stories are different in one way, shape, or form because we all are different individuals and we all are walking on different paths of lives. Some stories are older than other individuals. Some stories are more intriguing and saying, wow, that's amazing. Some stories just seem plain and simple. Whatever the case might be, in the Bible, there are stories of individuals that will amaze us. That if we look more in depth at who they are, we can learn things from the story, from their perspective of things. And so today we're going to go back to the scripture that was read in Genesis chapter 22. And if you have your Bibles, if you want to turn there this morning and just kind of follow along in the scripture there. And if you don't have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to start bringing your Bibles to church with us. That way we can follow along in scripture, the sermon. Or if you have your phones or your tablet, you can go to BibleGateway.com and follow along with Genesis chapter 22. This chapter is sometimes called the story of the binding of Isaac because of what transpires with Abraham. And I'm sure we've heard the story of this Isaac binding many times, but it's a story of great faith. It's a story of an individual from Isaac's perspective who had faith that God would provide. You see, a lot of times we've heard this story from Abraham's perspective that we kind of lose sight of Isaac. And so today I kind of want to take a look from Isaac's perspective, the one that was being bound and put on the altar, and how Isaac might have perceived things. And that's how we're going to approach the story in Genesis 22 today, is from Isaac's perspective and not from Abraham's perspective. And this morning, as we look at this perspective, I think there are three things that we can take away from the story of Isaac being bound. The first thing is this, that our life is an uncertain journey. That our life is uncertain. We don't know where life's going to take us. It's not like we have a roadmap that we can unfold and say, well, here's where I'm beginning, and this is where I'm going to end, and this is what's happening in between. We don't know that. Life is a journey. It's uncertain. We don't know where our journey is going to take us. We don't know who we're going to encounter. We don't know what stops we're going to have along the way. Our journey in life is uncertain. It's uncertain, too, because we don't even know when we're going to take our last breath in this life. It's not like we can say, well, today on July 11, 2021, I will take my last breath, and therefore I want to do everything I can do before I take my last breath. You see, our life is uncertain, and our journey is uncertain, because we don't even know when that day will come. No matter how young we are to how old we are. In Genesis 22, if you want to look at the first 8 verses with me this morning, it says, some time later, God tested Abraham. Now, I think what we need to learn here is that it's not saying that God is testing Abraham to see how loyal he is. But what he's saying is he's testing Abraham, meaning the fact that he's bringing something in Abraham's life that was unexpected. That life was going good with Abraham and Isaac. But all of a sudden, God brought something uncertain into Abraham's journey. And he said to Abraham, "Here I am," he replied. God said, "Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you." Now, all of a sudden, Abraham's journey is taking an unexpected turn here. All of a sudden, uncertainty comes. An event occurs where God says, "I want you to do something, but here's the other part. I want you to take your son Isaac and I want you to sacrifice him." That uncertainty in Isaac's life now has appeared, because now Abraham has to follow through with this, and Abraham has to take his son and offer him up. And we're going to find here that all of a sudden, Isaac's life is going to take an unexpected, uncertain journey. And so as Scripture reads, that early the next morning, Abraham got up, he loaded the donkey, he took his two servants and son Isaac, and they had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, and they set out to the place God had told him. The third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance, and he said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I go and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we'll come back to you." Now, here's an interesting thing with Abraham. Before we get to Isaac, Abraham is traveling, and as he gets closer, Abraham's realizing that, you know what? The closer he's getting now, he can see the place that God's led him to, that his stomach must have been turning. But he says something about his faith, the faith that him and Isaac have here. And he says that no matter what the uncertainty is, no matter where this journey is taking me, he says, "We will worship you and then come back to you." Abraham had faith that whatever was going to happen, that Isaac would come back. So Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and placed it on his son, and they carried it. And Abraham carried the fire and the knife, and the two of them went together. And then all of a sudden, Isaac, the light goes on. Isaac goes, "Now, Father, we have a problem here." And all of a sudden, Isaac is putting the pieces together of not knowing what's going to happen, that his uncertain journey now is beginning to unfold. Because he had gone out and made many sacrifices with Abraham before, and every time they had taken a sacrifice with them of a lamb. But they get up there, and all of a sudden, Isaac's going, "We got the wood, we got the stuff to make the fire, we got the stuff to build the altar, we got the knife, but we're missing one key component. We're missing the sacrifice here." And all of a sudden, Isaac's going, I'm a little confused, Dad." And so, "Dad, hey, Dad, I got a question for you." And Abraham says, "Yes." He says, "Dad, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the offering?" Isaac is beginning to question what's going on here. Isaac is beginning to wonder, "I'm not understanding why we're here. If we don't have a lamb, why are we here, Dad?" And Abraham says that God will provide. And the two of them went together. Now think about Isaac for a second. You're probably a young, maybe teenager, maybe between 12 and maybe 14 or so. And your dad says, "Hey son, we're going to go out on a journey." Cool, it's exciting. I love going out with my dad, Isaac's probably thinking. You know, I love it when we just go out and we just travel together. I love it when we go burnt offerings together, because it's adventure time. It's time with my dad. And I'm sure that when Abraham said to Isaac, "Hey, we need to go and God's called us to do something," that Isaac was probably excited at first. "This is cool. I get to spend time with my dad. I get to go out and I get to worship God. I get to praise God. I get to say, God, thank you for all you've done for providing for my family. Thank you, God, for all you've done for me." And I'm sure that Isaac probably started out this journey pretty excited. We find that as they get to their destination, that Abraham doesn't really tell Isaac too much. We don't know exactly what information Abraham gave to Isaac, but I'm sure that Isaac probably was thinking, "Hey, this is no different than any other time I've gone out with my dad. I don't need to get information because I know how this is going to play out. We're going to get the wood, we're going to get the stuff, we're going to go sacrifice, we're going to worship God, and come back and go back home and see mom again. So Isaac probably really wasn't wondering at that time, well, Dad, what are we doing? How are we doing it? Because Isaac kind of knew the process. I'm sure Isaac was wondering all of a sudden, though, once he got there, what was going on. When the wood was gathered and the rope and everything, that he was perplexed. I'm sure he probably looked at his dad with that little look of like, Dad, what's going on here? You know that look that people give us when we say something or we do something, they kind of look at you like you're crazy, you know, like I'm not understanding. I'm not getting this. Explain it to me. I can see Isaac's face kind of doing that to Abraham going, Dad, I'm confused. I don't get it. What are we doing here? I need some help. I need some explanation. I need some information. And I'm sure that Isaac was probably saying, okay, before we go any further, Dad, can you just give me some information here? And Isaac waits. And what does Abraham say? God will provide. And Isaac, as the son, goes, you know what? God's been faithful all this time. I trust my dad. So, okay, that's enough for me. That's enough for my dad to tell me that God will provide. No, need to ask any more questions, because that's enough. And Isaac continued with Abraham. And he continued to go up to the mountain, and continued to make the sacrifice, continued to put the stones around the thing. Because Isaac knew that God was faithful in the past and that he trusted his dad. You know, Isaac didn't understand what was about to happen though when he got up to that mountain. He didn't know that his dad was going to bind him and put him on the altar. He had no clue what was going to happen. He just was living in faith that God would make a way, like Abraham said. You see, I don't know about you, but all of us are on a journey, and that journey is uncertain. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what lies ahead, but God will provide. That God will make that way. Just like Abraham said God will provide, he provides for us as well. Ecclesiastes tells us that no one knows what is to be, and who can tell him what will come after him. None of us knows what's to be. We can't predict the future. We don't know what the future has in store for us. We're not fortune tellers. We're not God. Nobody knows what is yet to happen. We don't know how this story is going to end for our lives, for our church. You might think, well, I've got it all figured out, Pastor. I've got my life all mapped out already. I'm good. Well, I'll tell you, you might have it all mapped out, but I guarantee you something's going to come along the way and it's going to cause a detour on that way you have it all planned out. Because it's uncertain. We don't know what the future holds. And this is why Isaac's story is like our story. Isaac didn't know what the future held. He was going through the motions of saying, you know what, this is like every other time I've come with my dad to worship. But he didn't know what was to come. The second thing this morning we can learn from the story of Isaac is that death appears to be certain. That if you go back to Genesis chapter 22, verses 9 through 10, in the text it says, when they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood. Then he bound his son Isaac, laid him on the altar on top of the wood, and then he reached out of his hand and took a knife to slay his son. Imagine your Isaac. Imagine your Isaac. Put yourself in Isaac's shoes. Can you imagine what must be going through his mind all of a sudden? Dad, you said you would provide. What are you doing, Dad? Why are you taking that rope out, Dad? Dad, why are you binding me, Dad? Dad, why are you putting me on this altar? Dad, why do you have a knife raised over me? Dad, what are you doing? This isn't how it's supposed to end. Imagine how Isaac was feeling. Imagine that as he sees the fact that he's being bound and put on the altar, and his dad has the knife raised over him, then Isaac probably was thinking, this is it for me. That this is the last breath I'm going to take. I don't understand what's going on. I don't know what God's doing. I don't know why Abraham, my father, who I trust, is doing this. And this is how my life is going to end, he probably thought. They thought death was certain. You see, at some point, Isaac connected the dots, and he didn't see a way out of his predicament. I'm sure they probably tried to reason with Abraham. Dad, what are you doing? Why are you doing? I'm your son. You love me. What's going on here, Dad? Dad, you really don't want to do it. Dad, put the knife down. Dad, come on, please. Why? And you can see Abraham probably just speechless, not knowing what to say. While Isaac's crying out to his dad, Dad, do you love me? If you love me, why are you doing this? Because Isaac didn't understand. All he saw was death coming for him. What was he thinking? His life flashing before his eyes. Maybe some of us have had a moment like that, like Isaac, where we have been bound, what it feels like to be on the altar and we cannot move. Maybe it's something in our lives where we've had a scare with a health issue, whether it's cancer or whether it's COVID or whether it's another health issue where we thought that that was it. I'll tell you that when I was sick with COVID, I have never been as scared in my entire life as I was when I was sick with COVID. I really was thinking in my mind, is this it? Because of how bad COVID hit me. Maybe it was a COVID scare. Maybe it was a cancer scare. Maybe you were in a car accident. And maybe you were walking away from that car accident and you just go like, wow, that was just a death experience for me. Maybe it was a fact of an operation that you might have had that the doctor said, you know what, you need to have this. And as you're going through it, you feel like, you know what, I might not come out of this and you might be afraid because of the operation. Maybe it was a relationship that was severed and you feel like, you know what, that was just like a near-death experience because that relationship was severed because it was such a close friend. Maybe it was a job loss. Whatever it is, you know what it's like to have that near-death experience in some way, shape, or form the way Isaac did. And Isaac's story is the same for us. And the Bible reminds us in Romans 5 that the reason that we have these experiences, the reason that Isaac was going with Abraham to be sacrificed was because of sin that's entered in the world, because of Adam and Eve. And because of that, at that time, Abraham needed to make sacrifices to atone for his sins. Because when we have a near-death experience, whether it's losing a loved one, whether it's cancer, whether it's surgery, whether it's a financial loss, a car accident, whatever it be, is because this world is fallen of sin. We all have chosen our own way and not God's way, and as a result, we encounter these things. You know, we might not actually be bound hand and foot and put on an altar like Isaac was. But sometimes life can feel that way. Sometimes life can feel like that you are bound, you have no place to go, that you're trapped, and that this is it for you. Well, you can say, you know, well, Pastor, this is a great sermon so far. It's really a downer. Boy, I was coming to church to hear a word of uplifting this morning where I could walk away and say, wow, I feel really good about the word the pastor gave this morning. Well, so far, Pastor, you're just kind of making me depressed. You're giving me a downer here about Isaac. So what's the good news? Well, see, that's the thing about the Bible is there's always good news. You see, when there's bad news, there's always good news. And you see, the story of Isaac is no different, that here we are in the midst of bad news, but the good news is yet to come, folks. That when we live our lives, we might feel bound. We might feel on that altar trapped with no place to go. And we might feel depressed and alone. And we might say, there's no hope. But yet, there's good news yet to come, folks. You see, we might not be facing that knife hanging over us like Abraham was with Isaac. But we all can experience this one thing and know this thing, that death is coming at some point in time. We all know our time is limited on this earth. And we know just one true fact in this world, that death and taxes are a certainty, folks. And that we will die. And we know that the death rate is 100% that in some point in time we will die. So the question is, what are we doing with our lives? What are we doing with the fact of knowing that at any time our life can take an uncertain journey and can end like that? What are we doing? For none of us knows the hour, Ecclesiastes says. But you see, that's not the end of the story, folks. What are we doing with the time we have here on earth, but yet there's still exciting time that although we don't know what our time is, we know that we've been redeemed through God our Father. We know that He sent His Son Jesus to redeem us, and When we get to the story now of Isaac, he's being bound, and as Abraham's knife is hanging over him, Genesis 22, 11, 14, all of a sudden changes, shifts what's going on. Scripture says in Genesis 22, 11, 14, but the angel of the Lord, do we know who that is? That's what we call a pre-incarnate presence of Jesus. Whenever you hear the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, it means it's Jesus appearing before people. So we have here, but Jesus called out from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. And he replied, here I am. Jesus says, do not lay a hand on that boy. Do nothing to him. Now I know you fear God because you have not withheld your son from me, your only son. And Abraham looked up in the thicket. He saw a ram caught in its thorns. And he went over there and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of a son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And at this day it said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Can you imagine the relief of Isaac? Wow. Dad, I could just kind of see him like just yelling to his dad as Jesus is speaking to Abraham. Dad, it's over there. Dad, look, it's right there. That's the sacrifice that God wants for us. Dad, unbind me so I can help you go get that sacrifice. Dad, take these ropes off so that I can go and I can worship God with you. And we see that Abraham and Isaac probably took a big sigh of relief. And then the angel of the Lord, then Jesus spoke up and said, go take that ram as a sacrificial substitute for Isaac, that it might be sacrificed unto me. Wow. What imagery do we have here that Jesus is giving Abraham a glimpse into what he is going to do when he comes in flesh and blood? That he is speaking from heaven to Abraham and to Isaac. And Abraham and Isaac are getting a glimpse of what's going to happen to Jesus. That Jesus is going to come and say, you don't have to do sacrifices anymore. That it's through my blood, my death on the cross, that I will be your sacrifice, your substitute. What imagery is that for us and for Isaac and for Abraham? Because that's our story too. That we might be on that altar bound, but God comes and says, you know what? Hold on! Hold on! There's a way out. There's a ram in the thicket. No matter how bad it gets, there's a ram in the thicket. No matter how bad it gets, I'm your sacrifice. No matter how bad it gets, my blood shed for you. No matter how bad it gets, there's always a way out, God says. You see, our story doesn't end there, and our story continues. Isaac's story went on from Mount Moriah, and we know we get the 12 tribes of Israel from Isaac. And you see, God provided salvation for Isaac just like he does for you and for me. And it says, on the mountains of the Lord will be provided. Think about John the Baptist when he saw Jesus coming down to be baptized in the Jordan. And John says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That lamb right there is the one that's going to take away your sins. He is going to be the provision, the sacrifice you need. Just think about John when he said, he did this for all of us. I don't know about you, but imagine Isaac at this point in time as Abraham's unbinding him and he's climbing off the altar. I think Isaac probably ran and grabbed his dad's legs and probably hugged his dad as tight as he could and said, Dad, I love you. I don't understand. I love you. I love you. And I can imagine him looking up to heaven and saying, God, thank you. Thank you for providing for me. God, thank you. I can just see Isaac just being so much in tears, so thankful, and just praising God and saying, God, you are amazing. You are holy. Thank you, God, for providing. Imagine that lesson that he took with him throughout his entire life from that experience he had there on Mount Moriah. Isaac didn't take it for granted. But how many times do we take it for granted? How many times do we take our salvation for granted? Do we go up and do we hug people and say, you know, let me tell you how God has provided. Let me tell you what God has done for me. Let me tell you and give you praise, God, for everything you've done in my life. No, so many times we're like, yeah, I'm a Christian. Life's good. Going to church on Sunday? Yep, sure am. How about you? That we're not excited. We're not like, are you going to church on Sunday? I'm going to church on Sunday. I can't wait to go to church on Sunday because I want to praise my Savior. I want to hug his legs just like Isaac hugged Abraham's legs. I want to say, God, thank you for all you've done. But most of the time we're like, kind of like Eeyore. Oh, well, it's okay. It'll be all right. You see, Isaac in this story was one who did not take his salvation for granted. But how many times do we take our salvation for granted? No matter what we're going through, no matter what's going on, God will make a way because God is our firm foundation. You see, this morning, as we come together, we come and we're going through different experiences in our lives. We're coming and we don't understand why things are the way they are sometimes. We come to church and we kind of think how church might be and should be, and then all of a sudden there's an unexpected thing that happens, uncertainty in the church happens, and all of a sudden the journey of the church becomes uncertain because we're not sure where God might be leading us or taking us. And as we continue to come out of COVID, we're still trying to figure things out. We're still trying to figure out how to do church when we haven't done church for so long, and people aren't used to coming to church. How do we get those people back? How do we re-engage people? How do we get them excited about their salvation again, that they want to come back to church and experience it? How do we get people to celebrate that God has provided that ram in the thicket for them? Because it all starts with us, folks. If we're not excited about what God has done for us, then don't expect anybody else to be excited either or want to come here. If we're not excited, if we're not thankful for what God's done for us, then why should we expect anybody else to come here if we're a bunch of Eeyores? I don't know about you, but I don't want to be around a bunch of Eeyores. I want to be around people that are exciting. People that are like, you know what? Let's see what God has in store for us. That anything that seems impossible, we know that God will take care of it. We don't know what lies ahead, but we know that God will take care of it. That God will make a way where there is no way. Just like he did for Isaac. Why is that? For you see, Jesus is the King Eternal. He is the one that will reign forever. He is the one in the Old Testament and in the New Testament and here today that will provide a way because he is King forever. But we have to embrace him. We have to realize that when we don't see a way, that God will make a way. God, we come now before you now and we give you thanks and praise for the story of Isaac. And we pray, God, that we would walk away from the day realizing that, you know what, sometimes things in life aren't the way we wish they were. But yet we know that you will make a way. We know that you will provide, just like you provided for Isaac. That those times we feel bound, the times we feel like we can escape, the times we feel like we're trapped, we know that you were there. We know you're working, even when we can't see you working, because you are King, King over everything. And you have seen how things will play out. So God, let us today come and give thanks to you to be excited. Help us not to be Eeyores, but help us to be excited about what you've done for us and about the salvation that you've given to us and how you provided for us, that we might come and sing, yes, you are King forever. Amen. Let us stand in worship of our closing song.
Jesus.
the name of Jesus. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, I lift you higher. You are the only King forever. Forevermore. You are victorious. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever. Forevermore, you are victorious.
Unmatched in all your wisdom, Lord.
Unmatched in all your wisdom. In love and justice you will reign, and every knee will bow. We bring our expectations, our hope is anchored in your name, the name of Jesus. Whoa, we trust the name of Jesus.
You are victorious, and we will come and continue to praise you every day of our life because of what you've done for us, because you are the only King. Thank you for being victorious. Thank you for giving us the victory. Thank you for all you've done for us. Even those times we might not see you working, we know you are, because you are King forever. Amen. And as you leave this place, may the grace and peace of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. If you're watching at home as well, may the grace and peace of God be with you as you go about your week also, that we might live and know that God will make a way when there is no way, because He is King forever. Amen and amen. Have a wonderful week, and God bless. Amen.